And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello! Today is Monday, February 13th. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Today is Super Bowl Monday. That's right. The Super Bowl's over. Please listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, send us posts, thoughts, questions. Super Bowl is over. Kansas City beats Philadelphia 38-35. It's an exciting game. Kansas City, it's their second title in 4 years. It's their third overall. Patrick Mahomes earns his second Super Bowl MVP with a gutty performance. He was 21 of 27, 182 yards only throwing the ball, but he had three touchdowns. He had a couple of interesting scrambles, got some good yards. Let's start it off with some Super Bowl stuff, Kev.
The special Sports Kings from Queens Super Bowl podcast, because we know our fans were just dying to listen to us. What a game. Wow. That was probably the best Super Bowl I've seen. It'd be hard to top that one. Maybe somebody's got one that they'd like better, but I thought that was a great game. It had a little bit of everything. Ending a little disappointing with the way it finished. Overall, I thought Jalen Hurts was a monster out there. He had the one big mistake. He just flat out dropped the ball. Return for the touchdown, but I thought Jalen Hurts really stepped up his game. Last week I questioned on the podcast, what could Jalen Hurts really do? I wasn't sure. He stepped it up big time. I thought Philly's mistake in the second half, they didn't run the ball nearly as much with Hurts. Kansas City's offensive line, I think, was the real MVP of the game. Patrick Mahomes, and yes, Mahomes does a great job of scrambling and feeling the pressure of stepping up in the pocket, rambling when he needs to, but by himself the time, Philadelphia, that vaunted defensive line, no sacks. They also opened up 158 yards rushing by the Chiefs, led by Pacheco with 76. Came down to the end, that holding penalty. I'm sure we'll get to it as we go through the game. Bradbury said, I held. Therefore, I don't like the call, but he admitted he held. And at the end, Kansas City, Andy Reid actually learned clock management and has now two Super Bowl wins under his belt. Darren, as a Chiefs fan.
Well, listen, I mean, it was a really excellent game. One thing that was interesting to me is the halftime, you know, whole thing is so elongated. And that probably helped Mahomes get – they probably shot him up or whatever they could. He had a few extra minutes to heal up because he got injured right before the half. I texted you guys. I was like, if they don't score on this first drive in the third quarter, this game is done. And they came out and they did it quick. Not only did they scored quick. There were so many momentum changes in this game. Started off, you know, Philly comes right down the field. Kansas City matches it. Philly gets three and out. Kansas City misses the field goal. Then Philly comes right back down the field and scores. Then the fumble, you know, I mean, and all of a sudden the momentum changes. Then in the second half, Kansas City takes the lead for the first time. Then they score again after the punt return, go up eight. Philly comes right back. There was a lot of momentum switches, and this was the best game I've ever seen Jalen Hurts play. I don't think, you know, Mahomes was great. I mean, you know, he only threw for 182. He was 21 for 27. Really not much you can ask for from the guy. He was really accurate. But this was the best game I ever saw Hurts play. The pass to Goddard, and I'm sure we'll get into all of those plays, that was about as perfectly thrown a ball as you could throw it over the safety, over the linebacker, before the safety in such a tight window. You know, there was a lot of plays that were made, a lot of plays that weren't made that should have been made. There were a lot of interesting calls on the field. There was a lot of calls for interpretation for a Super Bowl, which was pretty interesting, I thought. But overall, you know, Sirianni at the end said, well, the best team won. I don't know if that's the case. It was a really even game. But the team that had the ball last basically won. And Jerick McKinnon's smart enough to know, stay in bounds, fall down at the two. And that's something that, you know, not every player does. A lot of players go for the glory. Jerick McKinnon's never scored a Super Bowl touchdown. That's not easy to do. Stop at the two. Just my thought. G?
I think a lot of the things that we talked about last week, keys to the game, things that had to get done. How are they going to match up? I think a lot of those came true. We saw the Kansas City offensive line play just a great game against the Philadelphia defensive front. One of the points we actually said was that if Philly's going to get 5 or 6 sacks in this game, it's going to be really difficult for them to for Kansas City to win. Kansas City held them down. We talked about, what about the Mahomes injury? Is he going to be able to get through the whole game? Is he going to be able to move around enough? He was able to move around enough. You know, is he going to find a couple of other receivers to throw the ball to? Another thing we brought up, well, he found Sky Moore for a touchdown, Kadarius Toney for a touchdown. He found Juju Smith down the field. He was throwing the ball. Of course, we know he's going to go to Kelsey. Not the question, but that was one of the things we said. And then is Kansas City going to get anything out of the running game? And they were able to get a good performance out of Pacheco. You know, he had 15 carries for 76 yards and a touchdown. They went through two drives where he just looked dominant. I mean, there were two drives where, you know, he ran the ball like 4 times out of 6 plays, and he just looked like he couldn't be brought down. Kev?
I've never seen a guy that size run so violently.
Yeah, agree.
You know, listen, 7th-round pick, you know, rookie.
They're Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is supposed to be Edwards-Helaire's team, all right? With McKinnon as a backup and Pacheco as a guy when the first contract runs out, that they might give him an up. He took over. He started playing in week one. It wasn't like he was sitting back. They brought in Jones, Ronald Jones, from Tampa, to be ahead of him in the depth chart. He beat him out. I mean, Pacheco did everything right, man. He just did.
And we talked about the running games. Philly's running backs, the 3 of them combined, 17 carries, 45 yards. Pacheco
said
out
that last week, Kev. And that was if Hurts has his day and the rest of them don't, Philly may not won't. We didn't. I said Philly won't win the game. Is that what I said? But I mean, it was much closer than I thought it would be if that was the case.
In me predicting that Philly win, I that was actually one of the things I said, which is I think between Sanders and Scott and Gainwell, they're going to run all over them, and they're going to have 150 yards, and that just wasn't the case at all. I mean, you're right, 17 carries, 45 yards. We know Hurts was beating them, but for them to hold the running backs to 17 carries for 45 yards, I don't remember anybody else being able to do that to Philadelphia. I mean, the key that I brought up last week was I thought – the Philadelphia offensive and defensive lines were going to be a huge key to this game. And Kansas City beat them on both sides. I mean,
I wouldn't say that. I thought the Philly O-line was dominant, G. The Kansas City Chiefs, 2 sacks for a total of 2 yards with a scramble. They held them in check. And I thought both O-lines dominated the D-lines. Here's the thing that stood out to me. The 2 things that stood out to me that cost Philly this game, you know, number one was the D line. Ndamukong Suh, if he didn't have a hands to the face, I wouldn't have thought he played, right? Fletcher Cox, didn't see him at all. Only guy I saw was Hargrave, and none of them were really in the backfield. The Chiefs had no negative rushing plays. Everything went forward. Even a bad run was a 1-yard run. Nothing was negative in the backfield. I mean, I had Pacheco pinned at one point, and he got from the 5 to the 4 on the drive where they scored the touchdown to go up by 8, I believe that was. But they did not get the penetration. And the thing was, there wasn't one player on Philly's defense that stood out as a player in this game.
No.
Maybe Epps. No. Maybe. I mean, Bolton was all over the field for Kansas City. Bolton was noticeable. Gay was noticeable, but Bolton even more so. The Philly Eagles had not one player on the defensive side of the ball that, to me, I noticed. And that's hard to do for an entire game. Just my take on it.
Now, 2 defensive things I thought for Kansas City in the second half, and you guys correct me if you think you saw it differently. Number one, I thought Kansas City barely missed any tackles in the second half. When the first half, I felt like they missed a ton of tackles. Probably could have counted about 10 missed tackles in the first half. I thought that they cleaned that up after the half. Second, I thought in the first half, the pass rush seemed very undisciplined. they were not keeping outside containment on Hurts. Although they were getting upfield a little bit too much and opening up the gaps. I don't know how much of that was Kansas City's pass rush and how much of it was contributed by the Phillies' offensive line blocking them past Hurts. I thought in the second half their pass rush was a little more contained, and maybe that kept Hurts from scrambling so much. Any thoughts?
I thought that Philly, you know, in the first half, I mean, there was like a second and like 10, and I knew it was an empty backfield. I knew that they were going Hurts on the draw, and Kansas City didn't seem to know that. And I'm like, how do you not know this is coming? I know this is coming. I thought that they hit him a little bit. I thought Bolton nailed him a couple times on 1 or 2 yard gains. I thought Gay chased him around. I thought what the Chiefs did a little differently in the second half was they actually spied Hurts a little bit more. I don't think they spied him at all in the first half. And in the second half, it looked like Gay was kind of on Hurts a little bit more, and it kind of stood out. Like even his blitzing was not designed to get a sack. His blitzing was designed to keep him inside. It was one of those games where, you know, the Chiefs did just enough. They weren't great defensively, but they did just enough to kind of hold them in check, especially in the second half. Got a couple of punts, one of which was probably one of the key turning points of the game, which was the low line drive punt where Kadarius Toney reverse field got to the 5. I mean, that was huge.
I almost felt like, this was me watching the game and just thinking about it as it was happening, I almost got the feeling that the Kansas City defense was going to stop the run and worry about Hurts later. That they were purposely going to stop the running backs from just having a crazy day. And yeah, we're going to give up a couple of big plays to Hurts here and there. But watching the game, that was my impression watching it. And for all of the time of possession stuff that came up, you turned around and every time Philly scored, Kansas City answered in that first half. You know, you went a 6-minute stretch and then boom, they answered. And it was this back and forth. But for me, that was the impression I had, was that Kansas City defense was saying the running backs are not going to beat us. And if we're going to give up that spy, especially in that first half spying on Hurts, then okay, fine. We're going to live with it as long as we know Hurts doesn't have this, you know, 180-yard running day. But to me, that's what it looked like.
I thought one of the big drives leading up to the punt return by Toney, Kansas City just taking the 28-27 lead. Philly takes over 1st and 10, 3 and out. It was a 5-yard pass to Goddard, a 2-yard pass to Pascal, and an incompletion to Devontae Smith deep. They don't try running any of those plays. I thought 2 short passes and an incomplete on a longer pass attempt, punt it right back, and Toney with the big punt return, and all of a sudden it's an 8-point game. I was surprised at the play calling there. That's one time I thought Philly's play calling was not good.
Yeah, I thought they got away from the running game a little bit more than they should have in the second half. I thought Kansas City did it the right amount. I thought Kansas City had a better balance overall. They didn't have as many plays. But, Gino, you talked about time of possession, which is always a crucial indicator. So are turnovers and so are penalties. So Philly won time of possession. Kansas City won penalties. And Kansas City won turnover. I mean, it was only one. Listen, I mean, there was so many plays in this game that, you know, just touch on them all. I mean, you had the Goddard catch we talked about a little bit earlier. Was it a catch? Was it not? Boom, did he get his right foot down as the left one's coming across as he juggled it, whatever it was. Then you had Devontae Smith. Basically, they can sit there and tell me all they want about how if you have control of the ball and touches the ground, it doesn't matter. As soon as that ball touches the ground, they call it incomplete because it seemed like he had control. I'm just being honest. By the letter of the rule, he doesn't. But in reality, that ball never moved when it hit the ground. The fumble non-fumble, I thought, was an interesting play. I don't know what a guy has to do to be called a catch. He catches the ball with 2 hands and turns because he didn't make a 3rd step. That's not a football play, the turn to go upfield. That's a fumble. I mean, I know the letter of the rule. Like we talked about with the John Riggins reach over for the first down, which we watched it since 78, you know, Kev. You know, I mean, but, you know, I understand it's the rule. I just don't get it. He hit him right on the ball. He turned around. That's a fumble and a touchdown. You know, there was so many plays that came down to interpretations that I thought that were crazy. I know what you're saying, Gino. I know the letter of the rule. He caught the ball and he turned. I mean, you know, whether he got a third step down, he didn't. So that's why it's not a catch.
Yeah.
But that's a
– yeah.
I just feel like the rules are so specific that sometimes it can get – it gets a little bit tedious. And it's and they don't take the flow of the game and what happened for the play into it. I just think that sometimes they miss the boat on a couple of these. This is my take.
They've overcomplicated what's the catch, unfortunately.
I agree. Yeah, they have. They do. I thought Smith was a catch. I mean, you know, I really did. I thought Goddard's wasn't. I thought Smith's was. And then when they showed the replay that he still had control with that foot on the ground, you know, I mean, he technically does, but he wasn't really in control of it like that. You know, I still thought it was the other way, but I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about because I can't tell what pass interference is. I can't tell what a catch is. And I guess while we're talking about the referee plays, okay, so – your take on the Bradberry hold. Start with you, Kev. Take on the Bradberry hold.
Bradberry admitted it was a hold. As he said, I know New Jersey. I was hoping they wouldn't call it. First half, they had the one that I thought was a holding penalty or a pass interference was Bradberry against Juju.
He spun him around.
Spun him around. No flag. Kansas City had a punt. If that's a precedent set during the game, you can't call that one at the end of the game. If they called it a little tighter during the whole game and that one in the second quarter is a penalty, then, yeah, that fourth quarter one should be a penalty. But to me, it was so – it was to borrow Bill Rafferty's terms, small changer, nickel dimer.
The problem is that I don't care what they put when they put away the whistle earlier in the game, it's a hold. It's horrible to make the call. Listen, we had this argument 2 weeks ago with the hit on Mahomes out of bounds. It's the same thing. He's 1.5 step out of bounds. The guy's running at full steam. He hits him out of bounds, and the ref takes the flag out. Yes, it's a penalty. We get it. But we'd like to see the ref have a little sense that these kind of plays are at least up for some kind of interpretation. And well, I know that is, and it's going to get more confusing the same way the pass interferences are. But, I mean, it goes for me, it's in the same book. Go ahead, Kev.
Mahomes, like every quarterback, will beg for the flag down the field. Juju never complained about the flag. Juju never went looking for a flag. That's the one that makes me think he thought that it was, you know, fourth quarter, you're not going to get that call there.
Here's the play, all right? And I didn't want the flag called either. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. How do we know that this doesn't become the same wheel route that they hit Kelce on in the first quarter? He beat him. He flat out went in, came out, grabbed him. How do we know he's not 3 yards in front and there's nobody else on the left side of the field? There's nobody else there. That's the only reason why it's hard to say you got to eat the flag there, because he flat out grabbed the guy that beat him with an inside out move. It could have easily been the same touchdown that Kelce caught on the first drive. That was a little deeper and there was a couple more people on that side of the field. There was really nobody on that side of the field on that play. That sideline was wide open. Now, it ended up where he gets held. Mahomes has to throw it away because he's about to get sacked for the first time today. You know, I mean, that's really what happened. He was actually under siege on that play, and he got rid of it early and just threw it too far. Do I think that Smith-Schuster, without the hole, catches that ball? No. But do I think he gets a 3-yard jump off the bat? He might. And I'm not saying he completed. I'm not saying that Bradberry doesn't have amazing speed to catch up. You're not even saying that Smith-Schuster catches it. We don't even know. Yep. But that is the one thing. I mean, they did score on that play to the right side to start the game. I mean, again, nobody wants to see the game end on penalties. Just like last week, Gino, you brought it up perfectly. I was going to bring up the same thing. No, that was a blatant hit out of bounds. You don't want to call it. but it's a blatant hit out of bounds, especially when it's a quarterback. Now, here's the thing. Mahomes must have got hit in the helmet four times in that game that they didn't touch. They didn't call a thing. But at the same time, you know, Hurts, I think there was a helmet to helmet. I think it was on Sanders on a tackle on the sideline. And Olsen and Burkhardt didn't even bring it up. I think when Reed came up and nailed him in the helmet.
He
I'm
did.
Like, they're yeah, like, it's a great tackle. Great tackle. He went helmet to helmet. They didn't even bring it up. I mean, that was a 15-yarder that could have went against Kansas City. So there were a lot of things that inconsistent. And the best way I could describe it is this. I was watching a college basketball game on Saturday afternoon, and it's going to sound ridiculous that I'm making this analogy. There's inside of a minute to go. Guy goes up for the shot, gets hacked, misses the shot, then they blow the whistle. The announcer says, Jamie Lucky, who's the ref, we've all known his name for 30 years, does not want to decide the game. So he was hoping that ball goes in so he doesn't have to blow the whistle, but he had to blow the freaking whistle. This one, he was a hold, and you could see the grab of the jersey. The other one was more of a spin in the first quarter. I thought it was a more egregious call, actually.
Yeah.
This one, if you look at it, and we posted it on our Facebook page, you actually see the grab of the jersey. But at the same time, you hope on third down with under 2 minutes to go that we don't have to come down to that play. I mean, we saw it with New Orleans and L.A., you're right? The blatant pass interference.
Blatant.
They swallowed the whistle like it was nothing. I mean, and that was off by like, you didn't even, the naked eye thing, you know? I mean, you saw it blatantly. You didn't even need a replay on that. And another thing that's a little ridiculous, Greg Olsen, one comment, I'm sorry. Talking about how Lane Johnson kept coming out of the stance early. Oh, to the naked eye, it doesn't look like he is, but I think it's fine. No, to the naked eye, he's offside.
Yeah.
It's just that you think it's okay. Fine. I mean, but don't tell me, well, to the naked eye, it looks like he's early. Well, of course it looks early to the naked eye because he is early. He's jumping out of the stands. It's okay. It just is. You're not going to call it. They're not going to call it. A lot of tackles get away with that.
Let me ask, when that play happened, first immediate reaction, were you looking for a flag? Did you think it was a hold right away?
To be honest with you, no, I did not, because I wasn't necessarily – I saw him. I didn't know if he slipped or was grabbed. So that's what I couldn't tell. I didn't know if Smith-Schuster slipped or if he was held. I didn't know what it was because I wasn't watching. I was watching Mahomes a little bit more, and I saw him come out of the cut and then go up. And I'm like, was that a hold or did he slip? I was just saying that to myself. I just didn't know. Your instinct, G?
Yeah, I didn't think it was a penalty at first either, because again, I'm watching the whole screen, trying to watch the whole play develop, and then you see, you know, in that split second, you're seeing him go down, and you don't really know if he slipped or, you know, unless you were specifically watching, you know, him against the defensive player, you wouldn't know it off the top of your head. Did you think it was a penalty, Kev?
On the first look, no.
Yeah, I honestly didn't either. I thought he slipped. Yeah.
You know, during the course of the game, you see how many bumps between receivers and DBs that are not called. And the way that game was played in that field, everybody was slipping. Nobody could keep traction. I mean, that's another embarrassment for the NFL is the turf.
I mean, Kansas City complained about it because of the way week one went for them. They played on that field during the season, and they said it was awful. I mean, the NFL is getting a little ridiculous with some of the stuff that's going on, but you can't play on a field like that. I agree with you, Kev. I mean, you know,
on the replays, you see the little bit of a tug. It's a hold. But like I said, live action, you didn't really pick it up right away.
No, but meanwhile, the other one, live action, you did pick it up right away. Smith-Schuster was literally spun around and you saw it. And they didn't call it. He's got a punt on the next play.
Where's the flag? What do you mean there's no flag?
And he went nuts on that play.
Yeah.
And he didn't go nuts on this one. You're right. Mahomes did, but every quarterback does. They're all sitting there doing a wave the flag thing. You know, that's just what they do.
They learn from Brady on that one.
Oh, they all learn from the GOAT, the master, as they say. You know, it was, again, for a Super Bowl, it was kind of epic. Commercials weren't bad. I thought there were a couple good ones. There were a lot of things that kept you entertained during the game. But the offenses were great. There was enough defense to kind of keep you into it a little bit, I guess, a couple of plays here and there. Overall, you know, Super Bowl 57's got to be a hit more than a miss. Sirianni, to his credit, classy. You know, I don't like him at all. I think he's a pompous guy, but he was very classy in defeat, which I you know, kind of impressed me, because he could have been completely surly about that call in that juncture, and he didn't blame it on the call.
Yeah, he said there are a million other calls in the game that you can't put in that one.
Not exactly. The only other thing I'll say, you know, a couple of other turning points, just real quick, and then I know we have a million things to go through that we've gone through already. I thought that the field goal that Philly went when Kansas City comes down and cuts it to 24-21, Philly comes down the field 17 plays, 60 yards, and settled for 3. And again, it was a little bit of interesting play calling there as well. I mean, a couple of incompletions kind of cost them. And the holding to that field goal to keep it as a 6-point game, I thought was huge for Kansas City, because you didn't think Philly could stop them at that point.
Was that the drive where Philadelphia got called for 2 delayed games?
Yeah, and they hit the third or 14th to Goddard. That was the play. That was the drive to Goddard.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the drive to Goddard. As they got close, I thought they got a little pass happy. I know they ran it once. The thing is that I expected to see more design quarterback draws with pulling guards, and Philly didn't do that. I thought that they relied on Hurts, who played well, really well, played great, but they relied on him to throw more than they needed to.
Yeah, like you said, that play calling down there, they got it to first and 10 at the 19. Hurts dropped back, scrambled, lost a yard. It goes down as a sack. Not really, but that's okay. Then you have the pass incompletion to Goddard on 2nd and 10. Then pass for 5 yards to Gainwell on 3rd and 11. You know, like you said, a little bit pass happy there. And sets up 4th and 6. You know, that's where Sirianni did the right thing. I mean, I know he gambled. He went for fourth down 3 times. 2 Philadelphia converted, plus they had the defensive offsides.
Yeah, the Chiefs gave him 2 in that on the first half.
Yep.
Yeah, the other thing that stood out to me, just the announcers, they were killing Reed kind of for not going for the on 4th and 3 in that drive. You're at the 24-yard line, 4th and 3. If it's 4th and 1, you want to say that? Sure. 4th and 1.5, maybe. We don't have the quarterback that's going to necessarily just run it up the middle. We don't have a guy that squats 800 pounds or whatever Hurts squats. You know, that's not going to happen there. The field goal's the right play, and Bucker missed it, but the field goal's the right play. I was a little surprised they were so rough on him with that. And you know, then it became the Smith-Schuster show for a little bit. They just were kind of feeding him, and they were picking on Bradbury. They didn't go – Scantling had 0 catches, all right? So they didn't pick on Slay at all. They threw the ball once, and he was open on a play, and they just missed him over the wrong shoulder. I mean, I think he turned in, and Mahomes expected him to go out. But the 2 touchdowns that they scored to go ahead, 28 and then 35 – how could guys be that wide open at the 3-yard line, 4-yard line on each play? Once Tony wasn't covered at all, the next play, Moy wasn't covered at all. I was stunned that there were both 2 defensive lapses that made no sense to me. The Chiefs tried that stupid play with the whirl around thing and had a 3rd incompletion, so it was 3rd down. They had to pull the tackle because he was eligible in the last play, so he couldn't stay in there. So Niang comes in, and you're like, what were they doing? And all of a sudden, just Sky Moore standing there by himself. I mean, it was like they didn't cover the flat. They didn't realize what was going on. I think the motion confused them. I think Philly was off balance all day. Defensively, they looked lost.
Part of it, you know, Kansas City all year runs that jet sweep.
Yep.
Even the motion of the jet sweep. So on Tony, he starts coming across, you're thinking sweep, so the defender moves inside, and then Tony short comes right back around, is wide open. Philly did not adjust. Sky Moore, same thing on the other side on his touchdown. You know, that threat of a jet sweep, which Kansas City had that motion, but never really ran the jet sweep the whole game. I think they ran it to Moore once for 4 yards. I think that was the only time they actually ran their jet sweep play.
On 3rd and 1, they did it to Pacheco. They went wide.
That's right.
And it worked, and they got a 1st down on it. It's a good point by you, though, because they had 2 3rd and 1s in the game, and they've been awful on 3rd and 1. Worst team in the league all year long. You've seen the stats. They had the 1 inside handoff to McKinnon, which went for 14. Then they had the outside run to Pacheco that went for, I think it was 11 or something like that. But those were the plays. But you're right. That's the only time all game where they went wide. And it worked.
Yeah. Well, the Chiefs not learn how to do that push the quarterback third and one?
Well, remember Mahomes got injured the first time they did that a couple of years ago. They haven't run him a quarterback sneak since. He hasn't run one. He scrambles. And once again, he had two scrambles that were huge in the game. Outside of that, he was four carries for 4 yards. But he had the 26-yarder and the 14-yarder that both led to scores. The 26-yarder was just ridiculous. He took. It doesn't look like he's moving that fast, but he's shifty and he gets there. And he just knows when to take off. He does have a sense in the pocket. It was very interesting to see him kind of take off. Rushing yards wise, they weren't that far apart, Hurts and Mahomes, and that can't happen for Philly to win that game either. Any final thoughts from you guys on it? I mean, I'm just curious.
Rugby push first down point.
I lost that it for a second. Gee, I'm sorry. What was that? Gino, you're breaking up, bud. Start again. I can see your face now. Go ahead, G.
Do you think that rugby style push forward play gets outlawed at some point?
I do.
Pushing the quarterback forward.
Yeah, I think it's not the design of the call.
At some point, they're going to have to come up with a rule that out.
We're having a little trouble with your Wi-Fi, G.
The other point I want to make in the game, I thought it was a well flowing game also. Because of the length of the drives that you had, you know, 6, 7, 8, 12, 17 play-yard drives that just keeps the play moving. I think it keeps you more invested in the game rather than 3 plays, punt, TV timeout. 3 plays, punt, TV timeout. You know, it was very, very quick-moving game, which I think just makes it a much more enjoyable game to watch as well.
Yeah, I mean, One thing I noticed from looking at the box score, both teams scored in every quarter.
Yeah.
I don't remember that happening in quite a while where there was not 1-0 by one team in a quarter. So you're right.
You're right. I mean, the last drive of the game, no touchdown, 12 plays, 66 yards, 5 minutes, 7 seconds. The third and one was the run to Pacheco, the Mahomes 26-yard scramble with the big ones, and obviously the hold on Bradbury. But let's say they don't call that. With about a minute and 45 to go or so, Kansas City's going to be up 3 and Philly's going to have a chance. They're still probably going to score on that drive because the field goal is inside 40 yards. It'd be hard to imagine he misses it, but you never know. I mean, you know, he missed the 42-yarder earlier, but you expect him to get it. I thought that there was I saw a lot of second and third tight ends in there that were just used to kind of chip a little bit. I thought Kansas City played it pretty smart. I really thought that. You give Andy Reid 2 weeks, what's his record off the bye? 27-4, 28-4, now 29-4 if you count the playoffs.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, 29-4 is pretty impressive. And, you know, last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, they got embarrassed. So they did come out, and they weren't embarrassed in this one. So really good game.
The difference in the two Super Bowls was the offensive line. If you remember that one, Mahomes was pressured all game. He never had a chance.
Same right tackle. Only guy that was still on both lines. And Shaq Barrett owned Wiley. And Reddick was a non-factor. That was the difference. I mean, I thought Reddick was going to eat his lunch because he's so quick. And, you know, they chipped him a lot. And then, you know, but he never got going. You didn't hear his name. You heard his name once early on a play where Mahomes was running up and threw an incompletion where he kind of tripped him up as he was running. And he threw the ball into the turf. That was the only time you heard that was set up the field goal that they missed. Was that play? But outside of that, you didn't hear Reddick. I was surprised at how little the Philly defensive line did. I really was.
Yeah, another play that really, when watching the game, was really noticeable was the long Kadarius Toney punt return. That is the first time I've seen a long return where the returner was not running at like the speed of light. It was almost like Toney was analyzing where people were and figuring out, okay, wait, I got to slow up and let these two blockers get in front of me.
Set up his blocks perfectly well.
Nicely.
And usually when you have those type of long returns, it's because a guy breaks two tackles, he's got a huge opening, he cuts all the way down the side. But in this, it was like Tony's like, oh wait, they're gonna come up. I better slow down a little bit. Okay, wait, I'm gonna make a little cut. It was, to me, watching that on the screen was just a huge play. It was huge.
It made it 35-27, man. And Philly, to their credit, comes right back. I mean, and they get the 2-point conversion on the Hurts run because the Chiefs could not stop him all day. There was the one play where Chris Jones went over the top, kind of had him, but didn't have his legs on the ground, and Hurts carried him. And Chris Jones is not little.
Jones winds up on top of the pile, and the pile just moves. It was like body surfing.
I mean, Kelce was getting him from underneath. And so was Hurts. He just got lifted by two guys as they were going. And you saw you hear about what Jason said to Travis after the game?
Yep.
F you. Congratulations.
That's a brother.
You know. And then you see him hugging his mom afterwards. I mean, you know, that's a tough one. Even Travis, you know, even Jason said about Travis, he had the right to gloat and he didn't. You know, I mean, they loved each other and stuff. Yep. They love each other. They do their show together. Be interesting to see how that comes out this week.
Yeah.
But really, you know, very entertaining game. One of the best Super Bowls ever. If you're a fan of a specific team and your team won a Super Bowl, you might like that game better than this one. You might, if you're a Giant fan, you might love the wins over the Patriots or the win over the Bills. If you're a Washington fan, there might be a special one of those, you know, the run against the Dolphins, you know, where Riggins goes off tackle. You know, they could be a million different things that you like best. But for a pure entertainment, yeah, of course, yeah, because we weren't alive. Well, you were 3 days old.
I wasn't alive yet.
So, you know, so, yeah, you saw Joe Willie for 3 days sitting there at that last Jet Super Bowl party, which was none. You know,
on the black and white TV.
No, absolutely. Class all the way. But, you know, you might have loved the John Taylor play, you know. But I thought overall for the full game, the excitement of this one kind of kept you interested all the way. And like you said, the penalty is the penalty. It wasn't like the referee missed the call. You just didn't want him to call it.
Yeah, that's a
really what it comes down to. If they didn't make a mistake, you just didn't want him to call it.
That's the perfect way of explaining it. He didn't miss it.
And the same thing with the push out of bounds 2 weeks ago. Didn't miss the call. You just wish you didn't have to call it. You know, I mean, that's what it comes down to, is that sometimes they swallow the whistle and sometimes they don't. And if you're an Eagle fan, you know, that's a brutal way to lose. If you're a Chief fan, oh, you held them. You know, I mean, that's just what it is. But, you know, great game. And that puts a wrap on our NFL season. And we'll be talking draft soon. And we'll be talking Aaron Rodgers and all these other things and a lot of other fun stuff. Gino, I know, has a point. So, Jay, what do you got?
Okay. Any other final thoughts before we put a cap on the NFL season? I do have one, but I want to give you guys the floor.
It's all yours. Okay.
All you.
All right. So, to win the Super Bowl for 2024.
Of course.
Kansas City at plus 600. Buffalo at plus 700. The Niners at plus 800, the Bengals at plus 900, and the Eagles plus 900. Everybody else is plus 1,000. To give you some local numbers, the Jets right now, if you want them, they're plus 2,800 on the money line. And if you want the Giants, they're plus 4,000 on the money line. So just a couple of
things. They think we're getting Aaron Rodgers is the only reason why we'd be at a plus 2,800.
Yeah.
I'm seeing mock drafts where the pick is already dealt. I'm praying for it. I can't imagine it happening. A quarterback not quite in his prime, but still in pretty good shape. You know, that would be utterly ridiculous. But I can't wait to talk draft. I can't wait to talk free agency because we have a lot to say. G?
And for me, if I was willing to bet on the Washington Commanders, they are plus 7,000. So,
all right. The defense is real, G. The defense for the Commanders is real. They get a quarterback they can play too.
Just a couple of numbers to leave us with as we cap off the NFL season.
Now, we will be back on Wednesday to talk about the rest of sports. Crazy week in NBA and college hoops. Definitely stuff to touch on, but this was a Super Bowl-only show. So you guys have any other comments before we wrap it? No, all right, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Gino and Kevin, talking to you about the world of sports. And today, just talking NFL Super Bowl. Hope you enjoy the show. Please download us anywhere you can get your podcast, whether it be an Apple product, TuneIn, you know, Spotify, whatever you like. You know, we post stuff on Facebook. We'll be posting stuff on Twitter, Instagram. Like, share. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. I know Paul, you know, one of our listeners posted that he doesn't like Kevin Burkhardt doing the games. He was anti-Kevin Burkhardt, wants him just to do the Mets. Kev?
I don't mind Burkhardt and Olsen. They don't bother me.
I didn't have a problem with him either. I didn't like Olsen picking on Reed for not going for the fourth and three. Outside of that, I thought he was pretty good. Yeah. We'll see. No, Romo talks too much, and there's other guys that are all over the place. But anyway, without all that being said, though, again, Sports Kings from Queens, download us, tell everybody about us, share our stuff, and without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
This has been the Sports Kings from Queens.